Hey, where am I going?
Under these three handouts.
Roll call.
Okay, for the Finance Committee, Forrestal.
Here.
Hedman.
Here.
Chacon is absent right now, and Crawford.
Here.
Okay. Recognition of visitors. We have Rob Fredrickson from the city. He's going to go help us go over our finances for the coming year. Go over the budget, I should say. Let's see, we got Republic. And let's go ahead and go into the review of the library budget.
Well, it's good to see everybody again. It's been probably about a year since I was here last year for the budget meeting, but I'm glad everybody's doing well. Just to quickly take you through the budget, if you notice the two gray columns in the middle, that's your FY20 adopted, which is the current fiscal year, and then to the right of that is your FY20 projected. So if you turn over to the second page, you'll see right now that I'm projecting the library to finish with a nominal surplus, about $11,000. So that would increase fund balance to $565,000. So that's roughly 73%. If you take that fund balance number and you divide it by your expenditures, less your debt service, which is very high, probably the highest in the city, fund balance percentage-wise, not absolute dollar amount, just to clarify that. But no, the fund really looks in pretty decent shape. Currently for the FY21 proposed, which is that column directly to the right of the 20 projected, you're showing a deficit of about $25,000, but again, you're still at 64% of fund balance percentage. And again, that can be revised or changed depending on what the board decides to do. But even if you were to run small deficits all the way out through FY25, which I'm not recommending you do, but if you did, I mean, you're still at 43% fund balance at the end of FY25, which isn't as good as you are now, but it's still not an absolute horrible place to be either.
Right. When do our bonds come due?
Actually, they come due. The last payment you'll make is December 31st of 2024, so we're finally starting to see those fall off the five-year budget horizon. It's been a long time, but it's good we're finally getting there. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I mean, if you look at the first page, property tax-library operations, obviously that's your big revenue stream. For FY21, we have a little bit over $739,000, and that's exactly what you levied this past fall. So that's what the city levied on your behalf. So that'll be coming in May through November, as it always does. And after that, I've just assumed like 3% increases, assuming that you'll levy for both CPI and new construction, which has been your past practice. Other than right below that, you have the property taxes for debt service, and that's set by ordinance, whatever the debt service amounts are for the two bonds you have outstanding through FY25. You'll levy that exact amount, pay the debt service, so it's a wash. And then your other taxes are, obviously, or your other revenue streams are obviously a little bit smaller in nature. You have the, the library per capita grant? Is that what it's called? That's about $20,000 per year, and that's budgeted through FY25. You have some PPRT, the personal property replacement tax. That's a little over $5,000. And then you have your subscription cards, your copy fees, some investment earnings, and things like that. So,
can you explain? Most of these people are all new on the board and don't know what this personal property replacement tax comes from.
Well, it comes from the state.
Yeah.
And it's set on the city. It actually gets deposited one lump sum to the city's account. But
where that money comes from the state? Is what I understand where it comes from is a lot of the corporate tax. There's a piece of the corporate tax that is actually replaced that personal property tax.
Yeah, that's...
If I recall correctly from many, many years ago when I asked the question.
Yeah, that's essentially what it is. And you get, I believe, 24.89%, whatever the city gets. So historically, it hasn't been a very big revenue stream, but it's been right around $5,000. And I believe gets remitted to us 10 out of the 12 months per year. So as soon as we get that, you know, you get your 25% cut and you send it over to the library. So not a big revenue stream, but, you know, $5,000 is $5,000.
These guys would like to know where it comes from or what it is.
Well, it's a form of corporate income tax, kind of. It comes from the corporate replacement tax. Other than that, I don't...
Is it affected by the number of businesses in our town or no?
No, it's on a per capita basis. So maybe if, you know, when we get to 20 census in...
The people.
Yeah, maybe. It'll go up a little bit. But not, again, it's not going to...
It's not just businesses in our area. It's businesses across all the state.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we get our per capita share of that based on our population. So again, it should go up, obviously, with the 2020 census. Those results won't be final, though, until probably January 2021. Mm-hmm. But it's still going to be, I wouldn't say, you know, if it's over 5,500, you know, it's not going to have a tremendous impact on your budget, long story short.
Rob, are you going to talk about the impact the minimum wage is going to have on our salaries?
Well, I mean, the way I had budgeted salaries for all full-time staff, I did include a 3% COLA, which has been the past practice here in the library, and that's just mimicking what we're doing at the city. As far as part-time salaries go, I mean, I'm tracking you. Part-time salaries is the second line item under the expenditure side. So we're predicting $175,000 this year, $196,000, which has kind of been your standard part-time salary amount. Now, since you had $175,000 this year, I just assume that whatever the minimum wage increase will be, I think it goes up a dollar, if memory serves, should be covered in that $196,000 amount, unless...
We have nine people that make $925,000 now, less than 10. So in July, they'll go up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying $20,000 is going to cover the change.
Yeah.
Because we're not even we're going to hit only $175 for this whole year, mm-hmm. at above $9.
Now, unless you decide that you want to increase part-time hours, then we'll have to revisit that. But if you keep it steady, which is just my assumption, it doesn't have to be the assumption. Yeah, I think 196 should cover any minimum wage increases.
So we budgeted this year at 196. Why are we tracking 20,000 below where we budgeted?
Well, you also have to consider that some of the staff members are not real happy that the lower people are going to be bumped up to 10, and I've got people that have been here 14 years that are making 12.
But his question is, why are we 20,000 under what we budgeted?
Yeah.
We're 10 above what we did last year, though. We haven't been at full capacity since 2018, apparently, when we actually paid out about 190. We've been losing people, so I think we've been paying out less. There's been a lot of periods.
Mm-hmm. But when we're down a person, are we working less staff, or are we having other staff members fill in to cover for them?
Less staff.
Okay.
So at one point, we want to entertain possibly another full-time position. Yeah. Do we want to... what is the cost of an FTE?
25% of the salary, correct?
What are you talking about, a full-time equivalent?
Full-time, one full-time job.
We need one more full-time.
Yeah, no. But.
Well, roughly, I would say benefits, assuming they're like family PPO, which is the top insurance tier. I mean, that could be anywhere from $30,000 to $35,000 on top of whatever the salary is.
Because it seems like we need... I mean, we had talked in one of our meetings, right, about the possibility of of increasing staff.
Mm-hmm. But also the option
are you capable
of part-time people taking them all the way up to the maximum amount, and even if we had to pay any more rest for them, mm-hmm. more than 20 hours.
Currently, all of our part-time people are capped at 20.
19.
If they go above 20...
Then you have to pay IMRF for them. They can't go over 1,000. What is it? 1,000.
I think it's 1,000 hours. Yeah.
The problem with the IMRF, it doesn't start when they hit that $1,100. It goes all the way back to the beginning of the year, and you got to catch them up. If I recall it, because we had one part-timer that happened to, because she would work whatever. That was when we were still in this building. And we had to go all the way back to the beginning of the year and catch up all the IMRF payments for that one person.
Shouldn't it start from the moment they changed?
No.
Well, yeah,
because it's 1,000 hours. So when they hit 1,000 hours, you owe them for that 1,000 hours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Well, I believe they have the option to go back to the starting point, but then they have to contribute their 4.5%. But if they do that, then yeah, the library would have to match whatever the employer rate is. Yeah. So you're correct.
How much is that, the IMRF contribution?
Well, right now it's 11.17% for the employer.
11.17%
mm-hmm.
on their salary. So it'd be 11.17 on $10.
Or? Correct. And they would pay 4.5%.
Okay.
So there's employee and employer contribution.
I'd rather have a couple people that are over 20 hours, 25, 29 hours, than one person paying $35,000 on top of their salary.
So as we look to the 2022, 2023, 2024, so minimum wage is going to increase $1 annually through 2025. Is that built into these calculations? Or?
Yeah, if you look at FY21, you see this at 196, which has been the standard amount. And again, I think that's fair if you keep part-time hours the same. But from there, it goes up to 201, 880, 207, 214, 220.
But is that based on a 3%
inflation?
Increase, or is that based on
the fact that minimum wage
account
keeps
for
going up?
A 3% increase along with the minimum wage increase?
Both.
Okay.
So the increase in staffing, if you wanted to go over and we start paying IMRF, how many more hours are we talking about? Like, envision what is it that you need? Because we hear that, you know, a lot of times. There's not enough staff. There's not enough people. So do you have employees that are willing to go over that number? And
I'll give them that option. Mm-hmm. They want, I mean, they're going to start to pay 4% out of their salary
right.
when they're not making an exceptional amount of money. But some of them may want that pension and the MRI.
Well, and how many more people say that there wasn't this, say we didn't give that option, how many more people do you need?
I would think possibly two that could be. What we're doing now is people coming in, we're cross-training them across all departments so that if we're short, we can move people around. So I would want two people that I could bring in and cross-train them for all departments.
Where are we short? Are we short a desk? Or programming, or?
We're short. We're about to fill another position in children's. I could use, we're probably two people that could be cross-trained between children's and upstairs.
How many more hours are we talking?
I would go maybe 20 each.
So we'd only be paying $1,000. Because we have people who are way below that, or?
Or even 25 hours. We have someone that works 10 to 3 every day. And then 3 to 7. The second person, 3 to 7.
With the majority of staff being part-time, other than our three full-timers, do we have an understanding of how many hours part-time workers any FTEs we use on a given week?
I don't have it, but what I have with the managers, what they ideally want in each of their departments, they've given me as part of the staff study, of what they would like ideally, if they had the ideal department, what would that look like?
So are we also going to see that in comparison to what we're actually running right now?
Is part of the comparison to other libraries that are the same budget that we have.
So if you were to say on a given day how many employee hours we have staffed part-time, do you have an estimate of that?
On children's, it's someone from 10 to 4 and 4 to 7. The same thing in, well, CERC, it's 10 to 4, and some people come in 11 to 4, and then 4 to 7. And then upstairs is 10 to 4 and 4 to 7.
So roughly 10 to 7, three positions?
And then on Friday it's 10 to 5, and then Saturday's 10 to 4, and 1 to 4 on Sundays. The weekends are rotations. Sundays are rotations with staff. Saturday, what we're doing now is we've hired two people that alternate just Saturdays. They work Saturdays and we'll take over Robin's hours when she leaves. Robin Owens is leaving.
So 4 days a week we're staffing three part-timers, 10 to 7, right?
Right.
And then 10 to 5, 10 to 4, 1 to 4, three part-timers.
What's also happening is sometimes there's something happens and a staff member can't make it in. Then a department head is covering, which I don't think is a good use of their salary,
sure,
covering a $9-$10 hour person.
But if they don't cover, do they ever have interaction with the public other than when they run a program?
Depends on the department, probably.
They fill in. They also fill in during lunch break.
Because we were going to revisit hours, the library was open. If we were going to increase hours so and cover RMRF, it would be nice to extend the library to 8.
Mm-hmm.
7 is kind of early. Not for you, getting those kids to bed, but a lot of libraries start things at like 6:37 so that people can get off of work, you know, and when it starts earlier, it kind of like hurts being... Sometimes people being able to get to stuff.
Well, then you do a shift 10 to 4 and 4 to 8. Or 7.
That's what I was saying. Like, if you had the 4 to 8, you could have... That's where I would add that 5 or 10 more hours. That
it's
if we're just pushing people up to
time. And adding a... Shifting the time that we're open.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, if we're going to add people's hours, it would be nice to add that hour to the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could... And give somebody a 4-hour shift rather than a 3-hour shift. They make more,
mm-hmm,
you know. They feel like... It's a meaningful 4 hours, you know, comes and goes pretty quickly. If you're going to work after school, somebody who maybe needs to wait for kids to get off the bus and then come to work or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So part-time.
So we're running 150 part-time hours a week, fully staffed. So FTEs, if you're saying a full-time is 40 hours a week, we're running 3.75 FTEs part-time. So if we had full-time workers, that'd be roughly 3 3/4 employees. So what I want to see is, so if you say we have 150 hours a week times 52 weeks per year, let's just say we're moving everybody up a dollar to account for wage compression or salary compression, that's roughly 8,000 increase on minimum wage alone. So I don't think this number, it's like going from 196 to,
yeah,
201, that doesn't even cover the dollar a year if we're fully staffed. And the 201 to 207, that's only an increase of 6,000, whereas minimum wage alone is going to be almost 8,000 a year at our current staffing levels.
And it doesn't account for every few years we give them more inflation.
Right, so if we were to do a cost of living increase.
Probably next year's is okay, since it's so low compared to what we're currently. But the years after is definitely not high enough. It needs to jump, at least 10 each year.
It would need to jump at least 10,000 a year, yeah, to cover.
Because how long does it, how high does it go? 14?
2025.
That means it's $1.15 to 15.
15.
But that's not including
the cost of living.
Increasing.
Right. Well, it's roughly 8,000 without the COLA. If you do a cost of living increase, it'd be 3% of whatever our spend is. So if we're at 200,000, that'd be an additional 6,000. So
on top of the 8,
you'd be almost up to 14,000, yeah, if you're doing a COLA increase along with the minimum wage increase. Now again, we're covered if we're doing into next year, 20,000 over what we're projected.
Are we giving the people that are getting the minimum wage increase a COLA as well?
Yeah, and that's for us to decide.
Yeah.
I would think you'd have to treat that a little differently. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep into account compression. So
right,
if we're going to give... So what I'm saying is a flat 8,000 is saying regardless of what you're making now, we're going to increase everybody the same. So next year... So minimum is going to be at 10, right? So... For $8,000, you'd be moving your 10s to 11s, and then everybody who's making 11 would be going from 11 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're doing 150 hours a week, that would equate to $150 a week times 52 weeks, $8,000. So I think then you wouldn't have, I mean, your only concern would be the managers then, and whether or not... Who's our highest paid hourly worker? Where are they at?
I'm the highest. Even besides myself?
Non-salary. So.
Non-salary?
Part-time. What's the highest wage?
Probably about 14.
Okay.
How many years experience is that? Is that based off experience?
I can give you the example. Kathy Greslick's been here
for
14 years, and she makes a little over $12 an hour.
Okay. Because at that, 5 years down the road, even our newest employee is going to make more than... So that's why you almost have to bump every hourly employee.
They don't in the schools.
Yeah.
Literally have teachers making $2,000 more than the people after 15 years of work.
That's what the staff is concerned about right now.
It happens in lots of other places.
I would say from the part-time staff, we push everybody up the same. So, because you have to push those minimum wage people up, and then to keep your separation between the minimum wage and the people who have been working longer. How's the city handling it?
Well, actually, it doesn't really impact the city too terribly much. We don't have a lot of part-time people.
Okay.
We got a couple of part-time people, like in streets, but they're more summer help.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in parks. On the recreation side.
But you start your people at about $12 an hour.
Not everybody, but yeah, and they're already, some of them are already above the thresholds anyway.
Okay.
We have 9 people.
And they're not changing those rates. Like in our schools, they don't go back and give all the other teachers a giant change. Like there are teachers who have been there 15, 20 years, and they make only a few thousand more than people who started like 4 years ago or 5 years ago. Because the amount they pay new teachers has just changed over time, you know? Like.
Well, that's set by the union contract too, mm-hmm. I imagine.
We have 9 people that are below, or could be 10 right now, but below the $10 right now.
Well, Lisa, do you have a roster that shows like everybody who's part-time and then how many hours they work on an annual basis?
I believe so.
Okay, because if I could get that, I mean, I could calculate different scenarios pretty
for
easily.
Changing everybody.
Put in a spreadsheet and maybe make the conversation a little bit easier.
Yeah, definitely.
A flat number versus a percent, because it's going to be...
Yeah, I mean, based on the times she's manning all the desks with person, I mean, the flat, the way we're built right now, it
should be. But there are times when there's 2 people at a CERT desk, no?
But if one's a salary employee.
That's the only desk that's got.
No, 2 part-timers will be at the CERT desk at times.
That's the only desk that has 2.
Yeah, there's even more than that.
So.
Like, I've come in here and there have been 2 people at CERT, and they're part-timers.
So we're running 2 people at the CERT desk.
All day or just certain hours?
No, that changes all the calculations.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're short staffed. Cheryl's the second person. which I don't think is a good use of management time.
I also believe that there's different jobs have different pays, and you have to account for experience rather than like every job. Like when I worked at Plainfield, pages just were the lowest on the thing versus, you know, like you put a book on the shelf versus somebody who had to learn a software system or somebody who had to interact with customers on a regular basis. You know what I mean? Like, you knew going in, even if they had to up it for minimum wage, the pages were still going to be less than a desk, than a program.
But aren't they doing away with pages now?
I'm just saying, like, does every job get paid the same? You know what I mean? Do we just start every single person in every department at the same? Or do we need to figure out, like, what departments get what range? You know, starting at minimum, but, like, this is a range for experience or time.
I mean, here, you're either a library clerk or you're a department head. There's no in-between. Whereas most libraries, you've got page, library clerk, library assistant, librarian, department head.
I guess, like, I worked at the children's desk when I was a YA assistant. That was different than a page. That was completely different than CERT desk. Like, CERT desk is very different skills than somebody who I interact. I mean, they interacted, but, like, I gave book recommendations and, you know, ran programs when it wasn't just the department head who ran programs. Also, your assistant helped run the program. Like, we could design and run a program, you know? I mean, I feel like our children's is going to need to get there, that Jeanette can't run every single children's program. So we're going to want somebody who's not at Jeanette's pay, but they're also not minimum wage. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they've worked at a preschool or something, so they're, like, they're in a different range, you know?
What I'm trying to have Jeanette do now is delegate down so that she's not coming in on a Saturday.
Right, but I'm saying somebody who's trained and... To get that kind of person, you don't need necessarily pay them what Jeanette makes, but you also don't pay them starting salary. Like, I'm not coming in for $10 when you have me running a program. Like, I'm using skill sets to run a program with children and ask the right kinds of questions. So then I wouldn't even start at 10. You see what I'm saying? I might start at 12 or 13. Does that make sense? Like, that's a totally different job than... I just feel like we need to figure that out too.
We need to look at the whole staff
before we can decide on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Before we can start deciding how to pay people, because
I think that's what the board wants, right. The staff study for other libraries. And
so it's going to be difficult.
But I'm saying straight, we don't change anything right now, and right. If we're staffing four people all day on an hourly basis for those hours that we're open. That moves us up to 196 hours a week, which is $10,200, just on a dollar a year.
Will we be fully staffed in the next month?
I've got an ad that's running right now for a children's person. So I would say after, we should be full staffed by April 1, probably.
And so... Well, I guess we need to see what we're currently paying, plus add in the minimum wage to make sure the 196 is enough. I'd hate to budget 196 and we really need 200 or 205. If we kept everybody at the same and met our minimum wage requirement.
Mm-hmm. So is the projection for the remainder of the year based on what we've done for the first part of the year where we've been understaffed?
Correct.
Okay. So we're most likely, if we've been understaffed for the first part of the year, we're most likely going to be coming in higher than 175.
Yeah. Closer to maybe what we had in 2018.
I can take a look at that number again. I mean, okay. It's been about a month, but I think I was pretty conservative with the 175, but I can take a look at it again and update it accordingly.
Okay.
And I wasn't really aware that you were or weren't fully staffed. I was just kind of looking at the number and making a projection.
Right? So,
yeah.
And there's been... lag time between filling positions
sure.
too. That's where we save some money there.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that with a dollar a year and the majority
the
of our staff
ones
being
are not
around
right.
that even if we don't make any changes, we're looking at over $10,000 annual cost increase, assuming we give everybody a flat dollar increase.
So you're saying without adding positions,
uh-huh.
this number for FY 2021 for the part-time salaries at least has to go up 10,200.
Oh, for where
well, because look at where 2018 was.
Yep.
With lower salaries.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if we're up in salaries July 1, this number's probably not high enough.
Okay. Assuming we're running 196 hours of part-time salaries a week, mm-hmm. which is what our current staffing model is.
So if we were to add, just to figure this out, if we were to add two other positions into this.
Two other part-time positions?
Two other part-time positions into this. What are we talking about? Another increase of what?
Well, I think you'd have to look at how many hours you're working.
They're working. And then how much are you paying them? Are these entry-level people mm-hmm. working 20 hours, 25 hours? Because if they go above the 19, then you got to pay them IMRF.
Right. I would say just... You know,
keeping them at 19.
So if you have 19 hours a week and you're paying...
It's another $10,000 per person.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. if you're paying $10 an hour, it's... Yeah. Plus taxes, so...
Plus taxes. But you're at bare minimum $10,000.
Okay. It's probably closer to...
12.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, essentially, the dollar increase on minimum wage is going to eat up an extra staff member every year.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
20 hours or 19 hours.
Okay.
That's what some of the libraries are cutting. Are going to be cutting staff
and
cutting hours.
Yeah.
Some of the smaller ones.
So what do we want to have to do with the part-time salaries? You want to bump it to
I think, 205? I mean, so let's say we end up at, let's say we end up 10,000 over his projection, so that's being at 185. We're still at 196. So I think for 2021, we're probably okay. Now that doesn't include a cost of living increase for our part-timers.
My opinion is if they're going to get $1 an hour.
Correct. There's your cost of living.
Right, it's kind of given to them by the...
Right. By the
So I think we're okay where he's got us for 2021, assuming that we're within 10,000 of his projection, which we got to be close. Because we ended last year at 165, so... Even if we end at 185, that's still 20,000 over where we were last year. So I think we're okay for 2021. I just want to make sure that we're accurately projecting out through 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we talk about our staffing and as we look at other libraries and, you know, we spend this year really looking at our structure, I want us to have a solid understanding of what the minimum wage alone is going to do to the part-time mm-hmm. salary line.
Because this is not right.
Well, I'll get that roster and I'll start running some scenarios and
okay.
I'll send them to Elisa and she can share them with you.
That'd be great.
I won't be able to get that to you until beginning next week.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah. So I think for the sake of our conversation, I think we're okay at 196.
Okay. Keeping everything status quo and only raising minimum wage for those who are not there.
I'm saying a dollar everybody.
Okay.
For next year. And that's a board decision, but, I mean, my recommendation would be if our people who have worked here for 15 years are going to be passed up by anybody coming in, we need to keep on top of that and move them up accordingly. And that's also being discussed by the staff as a concern, correct? So
they're really concerned about it.
So I think
we'll lose people that when that happens.
So I think we got to get ahead of that and keep everybody moved up in line.
I mean, I'd rather have the staff happy than adding two other positions.
And at the end of the day, if we're doing 196 hours a week, you're only talking about a $10,000 spend annually, which, well, it sounds like a lot. I think it's manageable.
I guess for me, it's just like you're going to give everybody a dollar. There's people you have to because they're less than 10.
Yep.
There's people because they've been here a long time. What about the people who haven't been here a long time and they're just higher?
Well,
like, that's why we need to look at the roster.
But they're going to be at the minimum wage level.
Are they? Did they hire everybody at the same rate?
Everybody's at 9.25.
Yeah.
Everybody's at 9.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like, not everybody plates does that. Like, some people give based on negotiations when they really want people.
There is no negotiation. It's 9.25.
So everyone knew it was 9.25, and the other people have moved up over time.
So that'll
actually... 3% each year.
So that'll work for us if we do it this way, because it should keep everybody in their little bracket of where they should be.
But they didn't get a raise for 5 years, so only the last 2 years were they even
correct
3%.
Right. But I feel like if we go back and tell the staff too that we're going to be raising everybody at the minimum wage increase rate,
which was 75 cents
for this year, right, and then next year it's $1.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's
$1 each year.
Yeah, each year. I feel that's fair.
Is everybody above age 18?
Only one that's not.
Okay.
They don't have the same requirement?
Yeah, they. Well, I think they meet eventually, but I know 18 can be paid less than somebody who's over 18 for minimum wage, just to make it more complicated.
Well, that opens
for
up, though.
We only have one person. She's working at her school, and she's done after she graduates.
Okay.
But as we look at positions, though, I mean, that opens up the opportunity for pages to be under 18.
Right. We have student volunteers that do the page duties after school.
Mm-hmm.
They're not paid at all.
Well, even better.
And then we do hire some of them eventually to come back. The person working in children's right now used to be a volunteer.
Okay. That's good information. I think that's good for, as we look at our staffing and just have an understanding of how that's going to impact us.
Is any of these other contributions based on salary?
FICA is. You got to pay 7.65%.
So will that go up? That one probably
Will, yeah. And then IMRF may or may not, depending on how many people work over 20 hours.
Mm-hmm. None of these people do.
So if Jeanette's not able to be here, we don't run a children's program currently?
No, she runs it. If it's a family program, she runs it. But what it was... telling her to do is delegate down, because there's no reason why as a manager coming in on a Saturday to do a 1 hour Lego watch the kids play Legos.
Right.
So now she's using her staff to do that.
I was here last weekend with Jeanette.
I guess it depends. But that's what I'm saying. There's one person who works 40 hours. We're open for however many hours. That limits when you can run children's programs. Like, a lot of our children's programs have to be when Jeanette is available, because we don't have another higher than, you know, desks. But
yeah, it was the same day.
Bingo.
Somebody like Robin would be phenomenal at running a program. You know what I mean? Somebody with experience with kids.
So we also get revenue from the housing starts.
And that comes into Fund 84, which is on your third page.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Under, as you say, development phase.
Yeah. So some of these other numbers will change after you take a look at our roster.
So this year, the actual projected is more than double for this year.
Did you?
They've been building a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Where is our maintenance? I want to see that. Projected versus what actually. What page is it?
Two. I believe.
Am I just missing it?
Hold on, outside repair maintenance?
Outside, the bottom of, inside.
It's at the bottom of page one. It's at 50,000 across the board.
And we're projected, okay. That's, outside repair and maintenance, I was going to say, because the
and again, I'm not,
inside stuff.
Oh, sorry.
You're fine.
I'm not exactly sure what plans you have, so I just left it at the budgeted amount. So.
Oh, no, it's not plans. It's just things keep coming up. So I just want to make sure the number was large.
We're in the mid-40s right now.
Okay. We may exceed that then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we've done the roof. We've done this past year. We did the roof.
We did the snow bars. Right. We did the major repairs on the boiler.
Right.
And the chiller.
How's the elevator?
The elevator is okay for now.
So, is there anything that we, we talked about the parking lot. Is there anything that we need to really budget for this coming year, maintenance-wise? How's the parking lot being done?
They are doing it. The city's resurfacing.
The city's going to resurface it, okay. But is it, what else? Is there anything else?
There's one of the gutters by the entrance to the library. The water is not coming straight down. It's shooting out of the sink. But I did tell the city, and they said they'd put it on the list, so hopefully they'll repair it.
Okay.
We may want to add on to the snow bars other than just the entrance.
I know what else I wanted to ask. We're waiting till we up our Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. But once we did and ordered the computers, if we're really...
We got the computers.
We are supposed to be offering the classes.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at the classes for September.
Right, but who will be offering those classes? Who will be teaching those classes? Is it our full-timers?
No, we will contract out freelancers.
So is that in our budget? Where would that go?
Use of a computer.
Professional.
It could be under programming too.
Professional services. We currently have at 40, but isn't that? I know our lawyer fees and stuff like that have gone up.
Yeah, you're right. It would be under professional services.
So is that number accurate for offering these classes?
$40,000 in that.
But he's saying we're projected to hit 35 for this
probably
year.
We only hit 24 the past 2 years.
But then they went up. Their service, the cost of our lawyers went up, didn't it?
Right. Yeah. Right now, for professional services, you're at $23,639, okay. And that's through February. But for outside repair and maintenance, you're at $60,560.
I was about to say, I'm telling you, it's been high.
You had $18,000 just in the past month.
Yeah.
We went over.
A lot of things
going. So the professional and that will kind of flip flop and help each other, but into next year we're thinking 40 should be enough for adding the computer services.
I think so.
I mean, realistically,
if you're saying we're at 24, I mean, we still got a few more months, so what, we might hit 30, so then 10,000 for computer services for a year seems reasonable for doing part-time classes.
I mean, if you find somebody that charges $60 an hour.
We do it through Avanzi as a program.
And you do, even a class a week, that's only 3,000.
One class a week?
I'm just saying.
Oh, I was like...
For a budget number.
You need more than one class a week.
If you're doing an hour a week,
yeah,
that's $60 an hour, that comes out to like 3,000.
So we can do about 3 classes a week.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
But is this... I mean, this was an extraordinary year. I say we need to keep it at 50. Mm-hmm. Because if we had made it too much lower, we'd have...
Mm-hmm. Historically, the classes we have offered, we had that many people sign up. Zero.
But people are asking for it now.
Yeah. I was going to say, but...
It's
older.
It's a different time now.
Older
people. Yeah, people, and you have to... You have to offer what they want, not what you're comfortable teaching, you know, like...
Well, we had a... I don't know where the teacher came from, but he was... I think it was Office that he was teaching, Word, PowerPoint, Excel.
Seniors don't like that.
That's not what they want. They want to know how to use Facebook.
Yeah.
I literally had to walk a lady through trying to create an event on Facebook. Like, I wanted to be like, go to a class. So, yeah, they want like real life stuff that they're doing. They want to be able to video chat their grandkids. They want to be, you know what I mean? Like, we got to ask them what they want and then offer those classes rather than what we think they might want.
How do you get the feedback on the class?
So, your survey? Yeah. Is that a question on the survey?
Not the specific classes.
Yes. What'd
you like to see?
50,000 for the building. So I guess, you know, my concerns with that are, you know, the age of the equipment. And, you know, I realize that some repairs have been made to this, but these things have a lifespan. I think this building.
You push it.
Was this building built?
2007.
So, you know, 20 years is common for things to start breaking down. Mm-hmm. But it looked to me like there wasn't a lot of maintenance done.
There was not.
And so, the things that were being done were kind of unusual. And so, I guess they might be concerned. I mean, I don't know how do you.
You don't think 50 is enough?
I think when we're in the meetings, kind of people look like there's things dropping from the ceiling. You know, like every time costs come up, and it may be the same cost we talked about 3 months ago. But
yeah.
I don't know what happens when the chiller just has to be replaced.
Could be a capital cost.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long does that take to get the money? I guess is where I'm going.
Well, the last time I asked somebody how much it would cost to replace the chiller, it was about $250,000. So that would more than likely be something we would have to send out a maintenance bond or levy increase.
How many months?
Well, that would take about a year.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, either we make it work until we're able to pay for it, or we pay for it, and you know.
No, there will become a time when we're going to have to do a referendum to increase our levy. Mm-hmm. It's never been increased by a referendum other than the bonds to build the building, ever.
That's a lot of money.
We've just lived within the 0.15 that we've been able to get. Whether the city matched what we didn't get or... We just got to get where we are. So at some point, we're gonna need to do a referendum to increase our levy.
We have maintenance on it now, though, didn't we? We have R.J. O'Neill that maintains our...
Yeah, right. I mean, there's still a cost involved in that if something does break.
Right. I understand that, which is why we're at 60-something thousand this year.
By doing PMs, we've now, hopefully... increase the lifetime of some of
that's
our equipment.
What I'm saying.
Because we weren't doing that before.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sure that's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
So do you not think 50 is enough to maintain for next year and anything that may come up? Or?
It seems reasonable to maintain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. My other question was, I'm not as familiar with, you know, with the time frame to get something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know... I haven't looked at all the parts of the system, but usually you'd have redundancy in the building so that if something went down, something else could pick up most of that load until...
Well, we know we're doing our boilers.
Yeah. So,
chillers?
So the boilers are a good example, but on the cooling side, I don't know where that lies. So it's something with the library, if you can't control your humidity, you have a problem. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think the chillers, we have any redundancy out there. I think it's just one chiller. It's gone down, and it took a while.
Emergency to fix it.
So
yeah.
Now,
looking at some of our other numbers, like for computer equipment and software, this year we budgeted $15,000, and the projected is $15,000. Next year is, Rob puts down $15,000. But if you look at, like, 2018, it was half of that.
Well, because we were buying new equipment, that's why we had upped the number.
Right, so this year was the $15,000 because of the new equipment that we bought this year, the new computers, right?
Does anything else need to be replaced? I know we replaced some managers' computers, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then bought, I mean, technology does get dated.
Mm-hmm. There's always.
At least, is there anything that you feel is...
We're using money out of the development fees.
Is that on page 3?
We have a line item on page 2 for computer equipment and software.
Mm-hmm.
for 2,000.
Right.
He's just saying, do we need to keep that at 15,000 for next year?
Yeah.
As long as we have good development fees coming in.
Yeah.
And also library programming, we talked about that under professional services was the computer classes, but we have another library program. That's all of our general programming that comes out.
Children's and adult, but we're also supplemented with the Friends paying for programs.
Right.
But that's one of the things I wanted to see increased. In last year's budget said 1,000, but in the last year's meeting, it was 2,000, so Rob has made that adjustment.
Mm-hmm. What are we talking about?
We're talking about on page 2.
Library programming.
Mm-hmm. It says 1,000.
Mm-hmm. 2,000.
Yeah, because we're projected for 2,000 this year. So do you see that, Rob?
Yeah, do you want 2,000 across the board?
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if it was just that year, but I can certainly change that.
That's why I was asking about that.
Last year it was, I don't remember what I asked.
2019, we spent 1737, yeah. And this year we're projected to spend 2,000.
That's with the Friends paying for most of the programs, most of the children's programs.
Okay. I can adjust that, no problem.
The children's programs between $350 and $400 for one program.
So, programming can't come out of development fees. It has to come out of this budget?
Correct. I think it's more operational in nature than capital.
And you said one of the bonds is dropping off?
It will at the end of FY25.
Yeah, 25.
At the end of 25,
yeah.
Okay. Which bond is it, the 2006?
Full.
So why doesn't we pay it every year?
Looking at.
We do two payments on the bonds every year. Is that, or do we, how do we pay that every year?
You pay interest in, I believe, June 30th, and then you pay principal and interest on December 30th.
Okay. So how much savings are we going to get once those bonds are paid off? Like, what are we talking
about? It's right there.
Well, it's,
oh, I didn't, where is it? I'm not,
page 2.
Almost 900,000.
But it's a wash because that's fully funded by your property tax, so that property tax stream will go away as your bonds go away.
Yeah, the revenue part will go away and the expense will go away.
Correct.
And the only thing that will also go away would be the management fee.
What?
Oh, the paying agent fee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is that at? Oh, so, okay, I get that these are going away. The actual for both principal and interest. Will both of these
service,
just the debt service?
Service.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it.
Because it is more than the debt service right now. I mean, not much more, but it's close.
We also had some minor discussions about library fines. But taking $8,500 out of our budget.
Well, the trend now is to do
with
library.
Yeah, that's what I
disagree.
A kid literally said to me today, I said, oh, but if you have a library card, I could help you. He goes, my mom said we're never going back to the library. She owes too much. She's really terrible with returning her books. He said they're never coming back. I was like this. A little part of me just died. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, they do food for fines. He goes, she's not going to go back. She said she's not going back to the library. And I feel really bad because I struggled this year financially because I got rid of my fines at the middle school. But I just couldn't keep making middle schoolers feel like if they didn't have the 25 cents, they couldn't get another book. You know what I mean? Like, so I took it away. But it does start to struggle with programs and stuff like that when you were depending on that money to pay for things. Like, we took away the DVDs already.
Do you know how much money is owed in fines?
I mean, when they do away with fines, they do away with the fines, but they don't do away if someone loses a book or damages.
Right, that still gets paid. It's
some
just fines.
Some libraries are also doing away with processing fees, the $5 on top of the materials they have to be paid for. You know, we charge like $5
for
fines.
Oh.
So
yeah, I just charge for the book that they lost.
The processing fees, but not for the item.
I still charge if they lose a book. They lost the book. Mm-hmm. Or their dog chewed up the book. But I mean the late fees. Mm-hmm. We no longer charge late fees. And that's
a
big thing. Chicago did that too.
But we need the money.
Yeah. I think we got to, I mean, everything slow. Comes from staffing.
Slow, DVD.
Yeah.
And we do make exceptions, like, you know, one guy is looking at KFC and he owes $25 and he says, I want to come back, but I just don't have the money. I said, we can work out, you can pay half of it and $5 a week until you pay it off.
Your program.
Where is that at?
Volunteer
the fees.
$24.
Oh, fines.
$25 or 2 hours shelving books.
Actually, we have the friends now coming in. They're cleaning the shelves.
There you go. $25, or if you want to spiffy up our bathroom over there, we can call it even.
Community service. Huh? Mm-hmm.
So really right now the only change that we're really asking for is just increasing the programming.
So what was the amount?
You,
right?
Programming or from 1 to 2?
Yeah. For our internet was an additional one.
It's going to be like $500 a month.
Additional? No, I don't think that much.
Cool.
Telecommunications.
And we're at $300. Was that like a $200 difference?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, we currently have budgeted $6. And should we be going up, is what you're saying? Because we're coming pretty close, 57.
Yeah, that's going to go up next year.
So we need to raise that? This is under telecommunications, right?
Yeah, so 6,000 divided by, what is that monthly? Is it, well, that's, is that
but
just,
that's everything.
That's our telephone,
phone.
Too.
That's just phone.
Where's our internet hit?
There.
Is that phone and internet?
Uh-huh.
So we need to raise about 500?
Do you have monthly what our internet is right now? Who can find it faster?
We went up, well, that's 2 months. So it was $708 for October and November of 2019 under telecom for Comcast.
But that includes our phones, right, Russ? They're coming through.
No, this is all internet.
So that's $350 then?
Well, the new rate starting in July. $443.35.
So we'd want to
per month.
Per month.
So maybe raise that by
half. Back.
Raise that by 1,000, and it'll cover it.
Well, 443, we get 220-something back.
Well, right now we're paying 3 and change, and
right.
We get 100 and something back.
How soon do you get that back? It's within one or 2 months. Actually, I think the way that David is structuring the payments is Comcast won't even bill us. They'll only bill us the amount we're due.
Hmm. Oh.
If I recall correctly. This year it was a lot of confusion and there was money going out, money coming in, and Rachel was on me. What is this?
It looked like we were paying the same bill twice. Remember that one time?
Yeah.
And we got credited back for it.
Okay.
So if we added $100 a month and just called it $1,200.
Because our portion is like another $75, so.
Yeah.
$7,200, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
How much you want to increase it?
$1,200 total. $1,200 total, yeah, sorry, not a month.
So some of these numbers are going to change because of salaries and FICA and.
Mm-hmm.
Not IMRF. Right now we're going to keep everybody who's part time under 20 and just pay them more. Okay. And fill all of our positions. Mm-hmm. So that one's 72.
Unless we decide to.
Library programming's 2.
Then I have the memo with what I'm recommending to change. And then on the training conferences, that's to allow the managers to go to ALA, some of the sessions at ALA in June. Also, we've got Reaching Forward, which I'd like to send two staff members, and then Pub Day, which is Prayer Users Group. We will send everyone on that Friday in September. We will use that as one of our staff days. So I'm asking an increase of $2,000 to $3,000 so that we can also have staff days outside, people come in and do training.
Is there an extra memo by chance? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Employee recognition is from 200 to 300. That can include, if we had a staff retirement lunch, coffee, special events. Library operating supplies, 3,000 to 4,000. That's Dixie would like that increase. What we would do is take the $1,000 from custodial supplies. Decrease that from 8,000 to 7,000. And then publishing and advertising from 2,000 to 2,500 so we can do a little more advertising.
What goes into operating supplies?
That's all the things you need to process the books, supplies, covers, the spines.
To offer.
Library cards. Just pay $600 for library cards.
And we're projecting.
You're very quiet down there.
So this is an increase of $1,600.
She's in shock over the $60,000.
Painful.
Going, thank God it's not my house.
Yeah. I'd just be like, burn it.
$65,000? Burn it.
I don't have a problem with any of these changes.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay, I'll incorporate.
So if our fiscal year custodial supplies was 4,000, why are we projecting doubling that over last year?
Can you look up? Oh, you're looking up right now.
Yeah, you have about $6,100 spent to date in custodial supplies.
It was because they went
paper
up.
Paper towels, all the Lysol.
How did we get away with only spending $4,200? Or did that change mid-year? As far as I know, we split those out from operating supplies, right?
That was separated out, custodial and.
Yeah, it started in last year, FY19.
That's a lie. I just couldn't see it before.
But we spent $4,000 for the whole year last year.
We did, yeah, $4,215.
And we're already over that this year?
Yeah, we're
going to lower it to $7,000, though.
Yeah.
No, he's saying what we actually spent is already at $60-something hundred.
A little over
$6,100. We spent almost
$2,000
more in custodial supplies.
Did we go up to $2,500?
No, but we just bought back maybe $600. Commercial banking.
So all that kind of stuff goes in there.
Mm-hmm.
So proposed, we had a negative of 24. That's probably going to go up when the salaries get changed.
Not for next year, though.
Yeah, he's got to change. I'm saying what he has right now proposed for 2021 is a deficit of 24, but it'll probably go up slightly because all of these salary numbers. Even if the 196 stays the same, once he gets the real staff roster, I bet our insurance contributions are going to go up slightly. Mm-hmm. But then we went up $1,200 here,
$1,000
here. He's not sure he is in the FICA and all of that. He's going to wait till he gets the roster.
It's going up $3,000. That's a 10% increase.
Well, if it's around 196, yeah, those numbers. But if it's more than 196, yeah, then it'll go up.
He's already accounting for that because he's showing about a 10% increase in FICA, which is matching the increase we're seeing in wages.
It should be fine. For next year.
And full-time is not going to want a salary increase of any sort?
Well, they're budgeted at 3%.
And we definitely give them that. I saw it.
The next night, I mean, we probably realistically won't approve our budget until April. Typically, we do it the first meeting in April, so whatever you finalize would just be included in that council packet and be approved at that time.
To get him the number and he's able to put together the models, do we want to schedule a time for the finance committee to review that again?
I think so.
Just along with, as we look at our staffing model, just so we have an understanding of that.
But is it going to be, because the April meeting is the community survey, so...
Right.
Do you want me to try to put something together for the staff study?
What's your deadline on the staff study?
Oh, they're shifting my priority on community service.
But we have a date and then we discussed.
What's going on in the water bill in March? The results she was going to bring to us in April.
We were talking about the staff survey, though.
Oh.
Did we...
I think it's March.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll pull something together to be, you know...
Our next meeting is March 9th. So
if we want to target the community one for March, again, and look at maybe... staffing plan in April.
The community one's already April. She asked for extension at the board meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just not enough months. So you're trying to see if we can meet before the next?
I would think if we could review that as... Well, and then we just have to understand as a board what direction we're going to take with the staff information. I would assume it would probably come back to finance.
I don't think I can pull it together in time for this budget.
We're talking about the comparison between the other libraries, right? I'm not looking for this budget.
Okay.
You know, no.
I'm not sure.
So we're going to wait a whole year before we can add positions or hours?
No, we'll just be constrained by our budget numbers. We can adjust as accordingly, but... we'll have to work within the 196 or know that we're going to be under in another area and make up for it.
You can potentially amend the budget as well.
Yeah.
If we met, is meeting the same day not enough?
Meeting the
same worried about the snow?
Meeting the same day what?
The finance meeting before the board meeting.
No, that's fine. I just thought since we're talking about it, mm-hmm. before we take it back to the whole board, just review, knowing our hours, and after Rob does this analysis of our hours with respect to the minimum wage increase, us being able to review that before we discuss it as a whole board.
You want to meet at 6 o'clock before the board meeting, the finance committee?
I think that'd be good.
March 9th.
Would you be able to do the review by March 9th?
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Is that okay with?
When I get back to Monday, I'll
do the roster.
Great. Mm-hmm. Actually, Rachel might have.
Yeah, actually, let me reach out to Rachel first. Maybe I'll just need
you
to pop
in
the...
That's what I get from Rachel. She
okay.
Print out.
I'll just have you review the hours, and once we get that done, we'll just pop in the minimum wage increases and go from there. One thing, if I may, just real quick, I just wanted to mention that health insurance costs for FY21 are actually going to be, they're frozen right at zero. So that's probably an $8,000 savings right there for the library, and over $100,000 citywide, so we're pretty excited about that. So,
what we're seeing for projected is what's going to happen for...
Well, your projected is actually lower, but if you look, your adopted is at 81,184, and then for proposed, you're at 81,184.
Okay.
The difference is the HRA money, the health reimbursable money. Not everybody utilizes that in full, so the city will pay the first $5,750 of a PPO plan. Mm-hmm. So if people don't utilize that in full, which apparently hasn't happened in the library, that's why that amount's going to be a little bit lower than what was initially budgeted. But we always expect, or at least we budget, that people will. They usually don't, but... That's why the number's a little bit higher, but there is no rate increase in the premium, so we're pretty pleased with that.
Okay.
So then we're going to meet before...
6 o'clock,
okay.
Before the board meeting.
March
8th.
If Marlis is there.
I can, yes. I am.
Okay. Then there's no other questions, and I guess we're finished.
Okay.
Then we're adjourned.